Turn with me in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. This morning we are beginning our summer series, which is going to be on the minor prophets, called the Minor Prophets, due to their shorter length found at the end of the Old Testament. The last 12 books are going to be starting today at Hosea chapter 3. And as we're going to be looking at each prophet, we're going to spend 1 week, Lord willing, on each book. We'll get a short overview of what the book is about and then focus on one particular passage which illustrates the thrust of the book as a whole. So Hosea chapter 3, that's found on page 872, Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer of a lekek of barley. Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days.'" And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how would you respond if a prostitute walked through the doors right before church began? How would you respond if someone dressed as a sex trade worker walked right down the center aisle and sat in the first pew? What would your reaction be? How would you respond? Would it be one of surprise, disgust, rejection, anger? Well, today we are going to find that fallen man, man in his sin, is a spiritual prostitute by nature, a spiritual adulterer. As I said a few minutes ago, we are beginning our summer series through the 12 books of the Minor Prophets. And each week we're going to be looking at the next prophet. And today we're going to be looking at Hosea. And when you look at the book of Hosea and the life of Hosea, you see how they are directly, intimately entwined. The message of Hosea as a book is illustrated in Hosea's life, what he did and what he was called to do. Now, Hosea ministered mainly to the northern tribes around 700 BC. This is shortly before the Assyrian army would come and deport many of the majority of the Israelites living in the northern tribe. It was a time of great peace and plenty in the northern tribes, but it was superficial peace. It was external. It was a time of great plenty, materially speaking, great prosperity. But on the inside, the Israelites were filled with great corruption, decay, and decadence. As you may know, if you know much about the book of Hosea and the prophet Hosea, he was told to marry a prostitute. This is back in chapter 1. And in this way, Hosea's life is forming a divine illustration. The direction, the teaching aspect of what Hosea is called to do is not one that every person, all the Israelites, were called to follow, but it is going to be made evidently clear that in Hosea's actions, the Lord is displaying his love for a rebellious people. We're going to be looking at this theme, that the Lord calls back the wandering bride by redeeming her from slavery. I'll say that one more time. The Lord calls back his wandering bride by redeeming her from slavery. At our first point, we're going to focus in on Gomer, which is Hosea's wife, and we'll see how Gomer represents Israel and their sins. Gomer and her life displays what was going on in the nation of Israel, and it is a very bleak, a very dark, dreadful situation. In 3 verse 1, we are introduced to Hosea's wife once again, called Gomer, that's her name. And Hosea is told to go and show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. The word adulteress here in the Hebrew, it's na'af, which means someone who is adulteress, who breaks their vow of marriage. Now, marriage is a vow. It's a covenant, a commitment made between one man and one woman where they agree, where they promise to live with each other, to live for each other, that no one else is going to be brought into this relationship. It is a commitment that means you are dedicated to the service, to the well-being, to the love and living together between one man and one woman until death parts them. But this woman, Gomer, has broken her vow, and she's considered her promise insignificant. She's gone back on her word, and she's gone her own way. She has returned to the life of prostitution. If you look back at 1 verse 2, you will find that she was a prostitute, adulteress, before she was married, and now she returned to that lifestyle. She's like a pig having been washed, returning to wallow in the mud. She has refused to live in the covenant bonds, this promise, this selective relationship with one person, and gone out to play the adulteress. She loves foreign men, and she lived with men who are not her husband. Now, this is trying to keep it the rated G version. Children, what this simply means is Gomer was married to her husband. And being husband and wife means that you live together, that you sleep in the same bed. And what Gomer was doing is she was going out and sleeping in the bed of all sorts of other men, acting like she was married, acting like she was committed to them. She was pretending to be married to multiple other men. There is not only a physical aspect to this word, na'af, there is also a spiritual component. And we're going to find this when we look at the Israelites a little bit later. There is a spiritual wandering which leads to a physical wandering. To commit adultery is directly connected to idolatry in the New Testament. Because if you don't understand how you are to submit to the Lord alone and to follow His word, it has a direct connection in your life, how you live as husband and wife. And this really is a shocking picture that's here presented. It's the wife of a well-known, respected prophet. Let's say the most well-known public preacher on the radio or TV today, who has a wife who flaunts her body, gives herself to anyone who is interested. This is scandalous. This would be on the front page news. She has become the forbidden woman of Proverbs 7, that adulterous woman with wanting, straying eyes and smooth words that calls to the undiscerning man, come over here. Stolen water is sweet. Come make your bed with me. But the person who goes to her does not recognize that her path leads to death. But it's even worse than that, because as verse 3 says, here Hosea describing his wife as a prostitute. So not only is she adulterous, she's playing the part of a whore. Now, this simply means she was selling her body, giving sex for money. She was selling her body in order to gain monetarily, to have a physical sustenance. Now, we have to remember that this is a picture of Israel, and that's not a good picture. Exodus 34, verse 15, the Lord says to the Israelite people, do not make a covenant, right? Remember, a marriage is a covenant, but the Lord said to the Israelites, do not make a covenant with the people of the land. Don't enter into a relationship with them. Do not whore after their gods. Do not participate in their pagan rituals. Don't commit idolatry or adultery. To put it in today's context, it would be like a covenant child raised in a faithful home, going to a faithful church, choosing to become a Muslim, choosing to serve the God Allah and become part of the Islamic faith. I mean, this is about as shocking as you can imagine. The Israelites as a whole had, as the end of verse 1 says, turned to other gods, living in the pleasure of this world, and even going so far to engage in cult prostitution. The end of verse 1 says that they loved raisin cakes. Now that sounds innocent enough, but you have to remember that the raisin cake was part of the temple worship of Baal. A raisin cake or a cake of dried raisins would be offered up to Baal. It would be part of an adulterous cult worship as part of Thanksgiving tribute in order to secure two things. To secure fertility so that the women can have children, and to secure prosperity in the field, that the fields would produce a harvest. This brings to mind what happened way back in Exodus 32, right when the law was given to Moses. Moses was on the top of the mountain, and the Israelites all the while are making their golden calf and getting up to play, to carouse with sexual connotations. Now, as shocking as that would be for any upright citizen of a country, we have to remember what Hosea has already done for his bride. What has Hosea already done? Taking a step back, what has the Lord done for his Israelites, for his people? Hosea has already once saved his wife from the life of an adulteress. Hosea has already once brought his wife, who was living in the scandalous life of sins, saying, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to take you, I'm going to bring you to myself. And I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you the proper bounds from which to enjoy the blessings of life and peace. And what had the Lord done to the Israelites? The Lord had brought the Israelites up out of bondage on eagle's wings, brought them to the promised land. What had the Lord done for his people? And that's how the Israelites respond. That's how Gomer responds. As Jeremiah 3 says, the Israelites are adulterous, faithless in their treachery. So what Gomer was doing in specific was displaying what the Israelites were doing in general. It's the spirit of godlessness, the spirit of the age, serving and seeking and loving idols. They loved pleasure, they loved money, they loved unholy and ungodly actions. They were full of deceit, willing to break their vows, to transgress their covenant for a moment of passing pleasure. That's what we read in 2 Timothy 3, isn't it? They don't love God, but they love money and they love pleasure. And that's what is found in Gomer, and that's what's found in Israel. They do whatever they want without restraint. That's what you find in the front page of the news today. But as sad as it is to see these things around us in society, we have to remember that the heart of Gomer and the heart of the Israelites and the heart that we find in the front page of the news is the same heart that lives in your chest, that lives in my chest. By nature, as the song says, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the Lord who loves us, who has drawn us to himself. I mean, idolatry is really repulsive. Think of all that God has done for us. For mankind in general, how he has created us, how he provides for us, how he gives us food and drink and health and life and strength every day. And instead of acknowledging the one true God who made all things and sustains all things, as a whole, society turns their back on the Lord and runs after idols, runs after pleasure, runs after sex, runs after money, fill in the blank, runs after these false gods that have done and can do nothing. And specifically as a church created and cared for by a loving husband. To run after false gods is to break a covenant vow. James 4 says it this way, friendship, loving the world, is to commit spiritual idolatry. It's hostility towards God. We find in Hosea chapter 4, and if you have time to read the whole of Hosea chapter 4 today, it's very instructive because you will find Hosea 4 to be a very fitting description of today. I'll give you just a few of the things that the Lord says was going on in Israel. They're always cursing, they're lying, they're stealing, they're committing murder. That's what was going on in Israel. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. That's just the context. Because as verse 1 opens, we find the Lord giving Hosea an instruction, a command, go and love. It is a sending and it is a commitment towards action. Go and love this woman again. It is love that displays itself in a search until you find. Seeking her. Securing her. Bringing her back. Now, why must Hosea go and love his wife again? Verse 1 continues. Because I, the Lord, love my people. I have gone to them. I have gone and found them. I have loved them. And I've brought them back to myself. The fact is, and this is a gentle reminder, there is nothing in you, there is nothing in me that moves God to love us. We are dirty, we are polluted, we are adulterous, we stray in heart, in mind, in thought, rebelling in our words and even in our actions. And yet God sets his heart, sets his love, sets his affection on his people. He goes and he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater man, greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for a friend. God is love. And it's in that love that he sees his fallen, broken people, sets his heart upon them, wraps them up in cords of affection, binds them to himself, and he saves them. And the manner in which Hosea is to go and love, to display this going love, is to redeem her. Go and love her. Love her as I have loved my people. And go and redeem her. Now this word is a rich concept, redemption. It's found on many pages of Scripture. What Hosea has to do in verse 2 is to redeem his wife, to purchase his wife. Now, why would Hosea have to purchase his wife? That doesn't make sense. They were already married, right? Well, evidently, Gomer's life had been so wicked and so rebellious that she started off in adultery and prostitution in order to provide for herself. She forsook her husband's provision and protection. And in forsaking her husband's provision and protection, she sold herself, she sold her body, so much so that she ended up falling into slavery. She's put on the auction block. Her body, her entirety is being sold. And the Lord says to Hosea, go and get your wife. Evidently, Gomer has become so used and so abused and so polluted that she's put on the auction. She's going to be sold to become the slave of anyone who would want her. She's forsaken by her lovers. Now she's penniless and destitute, being sold to cover her expenses. And to make matters worse, look at how much is paid for her. 15 shekels of silver and a little barley. Now, thinking back to Leviticus 27, the normal cost for a female bondservant or slave, a female slave, is normally 30 shekels of silver. She's half price. Nobody wants her. Yet, her husband does. And although Gomer has been caught in this life of sin, she's now bankrupt and impoverished on the road to slavery. There is one who rescues her, one who pays for her, who redeems her. Yes, it is true, as God's people, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God who loves us, prone to go our own way, but it is God who goes to us, who loves us, who redeems us, who purchases us, ransoming us, and brings us back to himself. As Hosea did with his wife, our God woos us. He speaks tenderly to us in love and carries us home. It's a poem which was written by Thompson, later illustrated or used by Spurgeon, which referred to God as the hound of heaven. God will have the one he sets his heart upon. He will seek until he finds. Hosea 11 verse 8 puts it this way. How can I give you up? My heart recoils within me. I see your wicked actions, and yet I can't give you up. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I am God. I will not come in wrath. And having received this love, given his love, God provides for his bride, takes his bride home, and he will lead, he will love, he will tend, he will shepherd his sheep. And afterward, he will rule over them by his appointed mediator. This is jumping down to verse 5. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Remember that this is when Hosea was writing. This was after the division between the northern and southern tribes. It's instructive that the king that is going to rule over the Israelites is the last king of a unified nation. Right? There's going to be reunification. What's going to happen is the Israelites, although segmented and division, are going to be brought together and ruled over by one shepherd king. And when you look at the name Hosea, it sounds very similar to Joshua, that ending part, Hosea, Yua. It means salvation. The Lord saves. If you were to translate that word, the Lord saves, into the New Testament, you would end up with the name Jesus. God saves. He saves his people. Who is the one who's going to be sent by the Lord to be the shepherd, to gather together the lost people, to bring them into the one fold? It's the good shepherd who will come, who will seek, who will find, who will redeem, who will give his life as a ransom for many, to gather the ones that stray, the good shepherd that goes out and seeks the one that was on the edge of destruction, bringing him back to himself. It is this Savior who will redeem his bride, who will keep his vow to her. We should be rightly shocked by the marvel of this wonderful truth. Our God loved us when we were altogether loveless. He sent his Son to save us when we were aliens and strangers and adulterous people. It is this Christ who gathers his bride and welcomes us into his presence forever. Well, now that we have considered Israel's sin and the Lord's love made evident in the actions of Hosea, what remains very briefly is the calling that the Israelites received. Now that Gomer, who is this adulterous prostitute, almost slave, has been purchased and redeemed, ransomed by her husband, What remains is a new life, a new way to live. So verse 3, Hosea says to his wife, "You are to live with me for many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will live with you." What remains is for Gomer to live like she ought. You are not to live like the old way. You're to put to death the sins that remain. You're to come alive in the image of Christ. You're to live with me a chaste life. "You are one of my family," the Lord says to his people. "You belong to me. You must now live in my house as one of my people." Having been purchased from the life of slavery, ransomed and redeemed, the ransomed bride is to live like she is now the ransomed bride. Do not go back to the old way. You've been set free from the old way. I purchased you. Don't go back to there. Live with me. Here you will find protection and provision. The same applies to the Israelites in verse 5. After that, the Israelites will return. They'll seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in that last day. Return, seek the Lord, because the Lord has sought you, has brought you, has purchased you. God's people who have been redeemed, who have been ransomed, who have been purchased, set free from the life of slavery to sin, are called to live a life that reflects that truth. Zechariah 1 says it this way, "Return to me and I will return to you." There are direct consequences that are made evident in the lives of God's people. They live with and for the Lord because we have been purchased and brought into his presence. So the consequence of being redeemed by a loving husband is that we live with our loving husband in peace. And that's what we as God's people are called to do. Belonging to him in body and soul, because we have been purchased body and soul, we therefore live for him. That's how God's people will respond to being redeemed and purchased by a loving Lord and husband, our Savior Jesus Christ. To conclude, the life of Hosea and Gomer set before us a striking contrast and a reminder of why we must be redeemed and the calling of those who are redeemed. Revelation chapter 1 displays or tells us that there is a church that is being prepared for marriage as the bride of Christ. We are called the wife of the Lamb. He has made us beautiful. Ephesians 5 says that Jesus Christ washes his bride, sanctifies his bride, purifies his bride, gets his bride ready for the wedding day. This cleansing is all the more striking when we remember where we came from. We came from the position that Gomer was in, the life that Gomer lived. Now that this adulterous and rebellious nature has been put to death, we're called to live like the chaste bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 says we are betrothed to the one husband presented to Christ. Let's close with the words of Isaiah 62, verse 5. "The bridegroom rejoices over his bride. So shall the Lord rejoice over you." The bridegroom rejoices over his bride. So the Lord rejoices over you. Praise God that we are chosen, we are loved, we are ransomed, redeemed, purchased by our blessed groom, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the pardon of sins and the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. And we do pray, O Lord, that as your people we would live as we are called to do, that we would show the world that we are living for someone else, that we are living for Jesus. We do pray, O Lord, that you would continue to fill our hearts with thanksgiving for the work of Christ and help us to be holy and decent and chaste in our lives because we are on our way to the wedding day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.